It is April 17th, 2002. We are talking with Henry Gettinger at the George Residence at 512 Herning Road, Fairbanks. Other voices besides Henry, as far as I know, will be Al and Bruce George.
Yeah. Well, tax came closest to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they did really well, I think. But of course, they had the restaurant and they had the big store, and you know, they
had them all together.
It took all of that to make it
work. And a lot of energy.
Oh, a tremendous amount of energy.
Our hard workers.
Oh, very much so.
I had a business course in college, and it was always interesting that they used as a classic example of what you have in a given business, the drugstore that had a soda bar.
Yeah.
The guy kept saying, oh, that soda bar's got to go. I'm just not making enough out of it. And so he finally got rid of it. And within 6 months, he was broke because the people that came in for some drugs would have some soda, or the people that came in for a Coke would end up getting something in there.
Mm-hmm.
And so you had to be careful what you did away with as part of your...
Yeah.
Like the movie and their refreshment stand.
Well, they make more money on their refreshments than they do on the movies a lot of times.
That's the only thing that's keeping them in business is that refreshment.
Mm-hmm.
They charge accordingly.
Yeah, just waiting for when the public finally blows their top and refuses to do anything with the refreshment stand, and then the movie theater will go down the drain.
Well, did you know any of the people on out here? Joe Kruger, of course you knew Carl.
Oh, I knew Joe Kruger quite well. He was one of our best farmers, and he had a greenhouse too, and had a really nice greenhouse. But he never would fertilize, and he would raise potatoes, but they never would get big because he never fertilized. But he was quite an outspoken fella.
Was he a GI too, or?
I don't know. He might have been. I never even thought about it.
Well, so many people at Homestead out here were.
Yeah, see, most of them were.
Happening at that time.
How about the he was Swiss or German?
Mr. Betchert? Yeah, the old fellow that lived down at the end, well, actually, he sat just about where Nordale crosses, what is Severn's Road, where it comes down. But I think he was before your time. He died in...
I don't think I remember.
I think the late 40s, if I remember right. I've got a clipping that you'll get eventually.
Mm-hmm.
But he apparently experimented a lot with shrubs and berries. And
he apparently had access to a lot of European varieties.
Uh-huh.
Nobody's been able to come up and say where he got the stuff from, except that these were the type of things that he consistently was bringing in and testing. And
uh-huh.
Now, I think he probably was gone before you got here. He was a bachelor.
I knew Bob McQuinn, of course.
Yeah.
And Charlie Ward.
Well, when did the Wards come? No one's...
I don't know. He used to drive the school bus for kids, you know. But
yeah.
He worked for Carl.
Mm-hmm. Well, he used to do what little farming we had done here for a couple of years. He had all the equipment.
Yeah, he did have, and he was going to be a big time farmer, but like so many of us, it's not that easy.
Yeah.
And of course, Bob McQuinn had rabbits by the hundreds. But when I saw them, most of them were out, you know. But Bob was always a real likable kind of a guy. And let's see, Benita Nealon finally bought his place,
mm-hmm.
didn't she?
He's up on top of the hill anyway. I don't know how much of it.
Yeah, I thought.
Oh, Mr. Scherer, was he still around?
He
was the German, I believe, baker. He had been a baker for a...
I remember the name, but I don't remember it too.
Well, apparently he had a homestead here,
uh-huh.
But by this time he seems to have sold most of it off. Here's Bob Strait. This road
I was
is
in,
weird
I was
too,
in the military with Bob Strait.
Mm-hmm.
Bob was always, he always had an idea. It's amazing what he got away with. He should have been in jail dozens of times, but he could get away with most anything. He'd run himself 3-day passes and go to town, and he had a whole pass book.
What did he do in the Army?
Very little.
He was
in an office someplace. I mean, he was a
clerk.
And that's how he was a clerk or something.
Yeah.
That's how he one time he formed his own outfit, and he was a commanding officer, and he was kind of a likable guy. Remember when he used to carry his .45 on his hip?
Yes. Well, is he still around?
I haven't seen him this year, but I saw him last year.
Well, I tried last year, I guess, to call him a number of times because I thought he would be a great interview.
Actually, he had quite a bit of ability, really.
Just used it in different ways from
He loved to be involved with fire departments.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, and
something about fires.
He just loved fires, and he loved fire departments. And
when we first moved out here, the year before, they had just finished the fire that burned 300 acres up generally in that hillside over there, and I assumed that a large part of that was his property.
Yeah, it might have been, yeah.
How it got started, I have never heard.
Yeah. Well, that's the way it is with things a lot of times.
Yeah, Ward's property got involved in that because I think it was Lee Rissy was talking about. And more than Lee, bringing in equipment, and Charlie bringing in equipment from NC.
Uh-huh.
Apparently Charlie worked for NC.
He might have been done
for a while, he's selling as a salesman.
Now, I knew John Ackerman quite well because he was in the co-op and stuff, and
they were here not too long, I think, after we moved out, and I've asked a couple people about him. He worked for the school district or something.
You know, I can't remember what he did, but I know he wanted to go in the dairy business. He was going to be a big dairy farmer. Kitty cat, they don't. I don't. Maybe it's just on account I'm here that you're having all this trouble.
She wants to be in the middle of everything.
Yeah,
she demands attention.
Let's put some weight over on that corner beside the coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, in fact, that used to be the end of the road.
Yep.
For quite a while.
Well, you notice the way they show it here is not the way the road. They've got it going right straight over the hill.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't.
Because here's Bob straight.
Sure.
Now, I think the road now must go through his property.
It does go through his property.
And then it must have swung back up over here by Ackerman's.
Yeah, some way, because it does.
Mm-hmm. What about Charlie May? Did you know him?
Yeah, but not well.
I tried to catch up with Mrs. May and haven't had
Don May, I think Don May used to have a homestead out there, maybe beyond him.
Huh. Well, that's as far as this one goes, the end of the...
It's just one of those things that goes, and sometimes it sits for a while and then it'll go on spurts. But I'm pretty sure that Don May had a homestead out there.
He could well have later on.
And I don't know where Don May is related to Charlie May. He very well may be. They're still gold mining, I think. He's not as healthy as he once was, but the last time I saw him.
And the O'Learys, I gather, did more logging than farming,
probably,
from what people say. Johnny Kalina, did you know him?
Well, not well. I remember Lee Rissy talking about him.
Mm-hmm.
Lee probably been doing a lot better than I was.
Yeah, Lee did mention him. And we were just talking the other night with Bob Hunsucker, who rented what was Morris Morgan's property, part of Roller Hernings.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's right.
Homestead.
I remember when Bob and Judy lived there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bob was in town here last week.
Yeah, I saw him for a little while. Yeah, I think he'd just as soon be back here if he could.
Yes, we got that impression too.
He's a really nice guy. I don't know. I think he made an error in judgment when he married who he married, but then that, those kind of things happen.
Yep. Oh, Frank Fassler. What about him?
Well, there again, I know the name, and mm-hmm. I suppose I've met him, but
he was up Amanita.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. I just don't remember that much about him. But mm-hmm. There again, I think that...
Well, you'll learn more about him from Lee Rissy.
I'm sure.
He talks about him a lot.
Yeah, Lee probably knows a lot more about that.
And, of course, Jim Day apparently owned that property for a while.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I knew Jim, yeah.
Oh, yeah, well, but they ended up over here. I was never quite pinned down for sure where they were.
Well, yeah, they should have been. Let's see, where's... Oh, my goodness.
The road swings down here, and they're above the road. They homesteaded, but I think they must have also bought.
They
homesteaded below the road, at least.
Yeah. Well, you can't homestead more than once. That may be a different Jim Day. I don't know.
If you didn't get your full 160, you could come in later.
Well, yeah, you could if you didn't.
You could find the piece, but it normally... The piece should be connected to what you already have homesteaded.
And I'm not sure.
Well, he didn't necessarily homestead this.
Uh-huh.
He could have bought from somebody else. And who was the fellow that lived on... his name is on a road... Well, I think he bought Ackerman's or lived on that corner. Because apparently he was a friend and buddy of Jim Day's. They did a lot of things together.
I used to know who bought Ackerman's place, but now I don't remember.
Well, I can't come up with the name either. It's on the, there's now a road off of the Hot Springs Road to the north, just on beyond there a little ways, that has his name on it. Oh. Well, neither here nor there. Okay, who else have we got? Rudy Bilberg.
There again, I've heard the name, but I don't.
Yeah, well, he was there, and then he was gone, and came back, and all sorts of.
Any of our aerial photo stuff extend as far down as Henry's?
No. Mm-mm. No, Tom, our oldest, is. Taking aerials of this area, but
uh-huh.
He hasn't gotten that far. Someday he may. Okay. Where is? I don't know. We don't show Cora's place on here, although I have it marked on my map because she showed us where they homestead. And that's mm-hmm. kind of interesting.
It would be.
They're quite a ways up there.
Probably.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's even about, I think it's probably up about there.
Yeah, she talked about Ruby Creek, I know.
Yeah, Bob built that road in there by himself. I remember when I used to inspect potatoes years ago, I mean, that was just kind of a mud road. It took a 6x6 or something mm-hmm. to get in there most of the time. But in the wintertime, of course, you could get in there mm-hmm. easy enough.
Well, how many years were you the inspector?
Probably 4 or 5 years, I guess.
I should label it.
I didn't know you was going to ask me, I could have looked that up, I suppose.
Well, you know what?
Back when I worked as inspector, I think I got $6,000 a year.
Wow.
And you know, and then now I think they get about 50 or, 50.
Mm-hmm.
But,
I was going to say that Don Herning talked, maybe half an hour only, but he got to thinking about it after he went home, and he wrote down a lot of stuff after that, which isn't on the tape. But it is in the transcription. I added it to the transcription I made of the tape. So if you are inclined, do that, because so many things will occur to you now that you're not, and we're not thinking to
Well, I didn't even know what you were going to do when I came over, so...
I should have given you a sample of some of the things. However, I'm asking anyone who does this to give us permission to share these around with everyone else, and once you do that, then you get copies of all the others.
Learn about how Matty Lee came into Fairbanks and drove over frozen fire hose because there was a major fire in town the night she landed coming in on Pan Am.
Oh my goodness.
And
yeah, the Norville, that happened later.
She thought that this minister that picked her up and took her out to the university was...
University, we lived down, down in the flats there, and the water was just terrible. But all our friends, we used real diapers, but everybody's diapers were kind of a yellow-brown, you know.
Right.
There was no way in the world you could get them any other color. I mean, you could tell if somebody bought some brand new diapers because they were white, but they weren't white long.
Yeah, we all knew about that water all right. So where in, you lived along College Road there someplace?
Yeah, right on the corner of Hayes Avenue and College Road. We bought that lot from Bunnell. Well, actually we bought it from the church. The little church that was, community church that was trying to get established had gone to Bunnell, I guess, and he had given them that lot, and it was a big, big lot. And they were going to build a church on it, and they tried to dig a basement, and they ran into permafrost, and so that is the hole filled up with water, and they decided, well, gee, they couldn't do that. So Bert Bingle had owned, I think he owned three or four lots on the other side of the road down where the church is now, where the little old church was. And so he said, well, he'd give the church some property there. And back in those days, you know, I think he paid $200 or $300 a lot for them, because they were a lot smaller lots, so they were long but narrow. And so then after, I helped build that little long church, because I was going to university. And we were living in that same little trailer that Pat's folks brought up the highway. And there was a little slough that went through there between where the between where the old church is and the new church is. It's all filled in now.
Yeah.
You wouldn't know it was there. But we put that trailer there, and we didn't have bathroom facilities and that, but Bingles had gotten modern, and they had, like so many people in Alaska, they had added a bathroom on to the kitchen. So you weren't you could get into the bathroom without actually going into the
house, right?
And of course, and their water was—I mean, you couldn't take a bath in that. You could shower, but it was so terrible, 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 terrible.
Oh, I'm curious, where was their house now? The Bingles?
The Bingles? Their house was a little bit toward the university from the log church.
Could this have been...
And then they moved that house, and then we built the manse, and Dick Idem and I built that, the manse. And then they hauled that away when they built the new church.
The education building.
Bingle had a house down towards Aurora.
Well, yeah, after he... and I can't remember. I guess he must have sold the rest of the property to the church, and then he built, right across from the fairgrounds.
Yeah, that corner down there.
Mm. Yeah. And I know Jimmy keeps coming up here, and he's yet to find that log house. I helped build that, too.
Mm-hmm.
And Jimmy was the best man at our wedding.
This was a Bingle son?
Yeah, Jim Bingle.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't remember the house even.
Yeah, they built a long house there. And the first house was, you know, like most houses, it was built and then added on to it.
So. Yeah.
I remember something about Bingles were in the local news because he was either just leaving to go down the railroad or had been down the railroad and is coming back into town. And this was spring, I would guess, that this was. And that was the first time I had heard the name Bingle, and was trying to figure out who this was.
He'd been out preaching or something, presumably?
That's what I can't... Why was he down the railroad?
Well, he had a ministry. He went down the railroad, and he built a church at Healy, and he stopped at Sun Trana. He would teach Sunday school stuff.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, last year, Jimmy was telling us about he met a lady who had been just, she was, I think, maybe 8 years old, and she lived down by Healy or Sun Trana, and she'd been in his Sunday school class,
mm-hmm.
and she really thought he was pretty wonderful, and she wanted to know, you know, where he was and stuff. Well, of course, he's dead now, but then Jim went to see her last year when he was here, and they have a place out toward Chena Hot Springs now, but they had moved outside, and her husband, and she came back, and they're up about 40 miles, I think.
Hmm.
But he had a ministry down the railroad, and he also had one down the highway. And he built a church at Tolk, and he built one at Delta. And I don't know. I think he went to Dot Lake, too. He went lots of places. Of course, he had been in Palmer for a long time. And you know, back during the time when they had... the settlers come in from the States to settle the valley.
Mm-hmm.
One of their units of exchange were Bingles. But I don't think they were named after him, but there was a real, I mean, it was a unit of money
mm-hmm.
for Bingle. So anyway, he had been in Cordova, I think, and he'd been in Palmer. And then he was up here for quite a few years working as a missionary up and down the railroad and stuff. And of course, he's the one that managed to get Bingle Camp started.
Yeah, because
the kids used to always go down to Palmer to church camp and
mm-hmm.
stuff down in that area. Well, between Kings Lake and between Palmer and Anchorage or someplace. I never did know, but I knew it was down there, and it was really smart of him because he could never do that now. I mean, he managed to pick up that land then, and it is it's a real asset, and it's real good for the community, I think.
Yep. Yes, he had a very good name in the community.
Yeah.
Did you know Carl Lindstrom?
Yeah.
Somebody claimed that he had been part of the survey crew that laid out.
In fact, my daughter Kathy and her husband, we managed to buy the 10 acres
mm-hmm.
up here
right.
from Carl. He was selling out. He was and.
Well, that was Everett's, where Everett's house was.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether he owned the property or Carl did. But
I think we maybe bought it from Everett.
Yeah.
Dad. Yeah. I know he was having some trouble with inheritance. His daughter had run off with the GI
yeah.
or something, and he felt that they were squandering the money. I guess that she had gotten. I don't know. The bank was a trustee. but they would just give her whatever she asked for. Mm-hmm. I remember him being pretty upset about that, but yeah. And so they got that 10 years in that little house, and that was a fantastic deal. I
mean, yeah, I'm sure.
That was $30,000.
Yeah.
And boy, that was great. Could I use your bathroom?
Sure, right around
there. Right around there?
Yep.
And they would take their big gun and they'd take it out to the range. And one time I was going to town and I was in a hurry. I was only going about 50, but you know, the roads were all nice and snowy and stuff. And I went over the hill where the school is, you know.
Mm-hmm. Down in Rainbow Valley.
And here was their big gun and everything crossways of the road. They'd gotten stuck. And so I said, there ain't no way that I'm going to be able to get around them. I'm going to pick me out a snowbank. So I just did, you know. And so I didn't even get hurt, didn't hurt the car at all either. And I got stopped. And then they just got a bunch of GIs and put it back on the road for me. But, that was kind of hard getting up and down that hill. Or that used to be a bad hill. I can remember a few times that we had to make a run for that, too.
Yep. But that wasn't cut down at all when we came out, was it?
No, I don't think it was cut down at all. Just like none of the hills were.
No.
You know, where Holmes' fields were. I mean, that was so nice. I mean, you just walk across the... Just walk across the road, it was only about 20, 30 feet, mm-hmm. you know, and there's the other field.
Oh, there was a story about John not allowing the state to build the road across his property at first. Who told us that story? And they finally had to get pretty heavy-handed about it, because he didn't want them on a particular line or something that he was...
Well, he might not have wanted to give it. They probably... this might have been that they wanted a 200-foot right-of-way, and he didn't want to give it. Because there is a 200-foot right-of-way there now. You know, the interesting thing about the Chena Hot Springs Road, there's a 200-foot right-of-way on that road, except at Lodge, and they only got 60 feet there.
Well, that could have been the compromise that was made. You'll find that story. I can't remember now who was telling about it, but did you know the Rydells?
Oh yeah.
You saw the other day in the paper that he just got married.
I saw that. Yeah, he looks pretty good.
Yeah, I was surprised because I've talked to him on the phone several times trying to interview him for this, and he'd been in and out of the hospital at that time.
Uh-huh.
So I kind of gave up. Yeah, it looks like he's... And I think it's his granddaughter, whose name we see in the paper now, in connection with the visitor center. She apparently works...
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, Meadow Rydell. Pretty sure that's...
Well, they seem like really nice folks. They used to buy hay from me and stuff, and they seem like really nice people.
Don doesn't see them in a good light at all, because... He gave them an easement to get to their place over his property. And then when he came along and wanted to do something, she wouldn't let him.
Oh, no kidding?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's still unhappy about that.
Well, I'll be doggone.
Yeah.
She was peculiar about certain things, and land was one of them.
Uh-huh.
He had... rent a lease or had a permit from the state to log up above their place.
Oh yeah.
And she wouldn't let him go through.
Uh-huh.
Do that. Yeah, he's still unhappy about that.
Well, I'll be there. I'll have to.
Well, again, this is in his story, I'm pretty sure.
Sure, and it's probably, it might be true.
Well, you'll not convince him otherwise. Actually, Don had a lot of information. Well, he homesteaded out here before Carl, before anybody else, and you'll find out why. And no point going into all that, but it's interesting. He was about the youngest of the herding males, I think, and yet he was the first one out here by through Lynn Funk's an acquaintance with Lynn. Yep. Well, let me show you this other picture that you may not have seen. And incidentally, if you'd like to have that map, you're welcome to it.
Yeah, I
would. We've got
like
a bunch
it.
Of copies made from ours.
But yeah, yours is in much better shape than mine. Now, your place here, was that part of Stebbins?
Yeah, we bought Stebbins' place right here.
Yeah, I thought you did.
This L-shape.
Did you get the whole thing?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, great.
And we still have the whole thing.
Uh-huh, yeah. Yeah, I sure liked them. They were our next door neighbors. They lived right across the college road from us. And he was real good block man and brick mason and stuff. And he showed me how to lay concrete blocks, and I built my first basement, you know. I got one easy lesson from Fred.
Well, what do you know about them? What brought them up here?
You know what? I don't know. They just
In fact,
like
was he
up.
The one that turned out to be a Canadian? We've got information on this homestead.
Uh-huh.
Somebody got it for us from the National Archives, all the detail that you ever wanted, because somebody else had filed on it and didn't.
It was a challenge filing.
Yeah, didn't prove up, and so it came along.
Well, the homestead we have, that was two different people had filed on it, but neither one. Well, one of them had tried to build a cabin on a hill back there, but he had no access. He'd had to come in from this Yoder line or Love Road line to get there. And